I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good that we can continue with the study on the Theophany or the Christophany in the Old Testament, where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared before he was incarnated in the New Testament, where he became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's important that we recall how he appeared and in what way, because it will give us the understanding of who really he is, he in our lives, even from the beginning until the end. And it is important also that we acknowledge him in this particular portion of the book, where we see him in the Old Testament, because he is our God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is good that we be encouraged by this appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to show how he has this desire to help us even before he was incarnated. As we know, he is the Lamb that was slain even before the foundation of the world. And he has already that love, grace, and mercy upon all those who love him, who believes in him, and who trust in him. Tonight we will be looking at the Christ in the Old Testament, and that is focusing on his commands to victory, he who commands victory. And I believe all of us have gone through some experiences in life where we see that particular point where we don't have any hope, didn't have any chance, didn't have any possibility, didn't have anything seemed to encourage us to continue on and move on, because we think this is a failure. This is something that I cannot do anymore. And there is no hope. There is no chance. There is no possibility by which it can be accomplished or by which it can be done. And these particular experiences in life will show us that indeed, if we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, or we trusted God and asked him to help us, there are mighty and miraculous ways by which God will reveal to us how he is all powerful and is in control of everything. But there were times that we surrendered, many times that we say it's enough, it's all over, we know we cannot do it anymore. But for those of you who have made and decided that you will move on and continue on trusting in the Lord, I believe you can testify later with your friends that indeed God is real, God exists, God is true, and God will enable us to go through even in the impossible things in life, even in the impossible circumstances in life. And as for me, I can testify so many times of how God is our commander, how he commands victory in the midst of a seemingly circumstances that we cannot do anything. It's zero. Exactly zero possibility by which we can conquer it, and yet God will overturn, and God will show us that indeed he is powerful. So let us look at this passage, and let us understand that in here God showed first his identity. It is important that we have to acknowledge who he is in our lives. Because we cannot just be given victory in circumstances or in many problems in life without acknowledging who God is and how he is doing and working in our lives. Because after that, we might just claim that it's our own work, our own strength, our own willpower that made us victorious. So it's important that we know who he is, his identity. We acknowledge that it is he who is helping us. It is not just a source of help from other people. Second thing that we have to take note is that God promises this victory. And when God promised this victory, we have to believe. Even if there's nothing seen or there's nothing that is in front of us that would give us a hint that we will be able to overcome this. We have to believe the words of God rather than the circumstances. We have to believe in God's word rather than what you experience. You have to believe in God's word rather than the things happening around you. This is not something of a positive mental attitude, but it is trusting and having confidence in the promises of the God who is in control of everything, who has power over all things on earth. So we have to acknowledge and we have to believe in His word. Those are keys by which we can trust that God will enable us to have and to conquer and to reach and to succeed that victory that God has for us. But the other important thing is that when He gives us instruction, we must carry it out. It's not just acknowledging that He helps us. It is not just believing that He will help us, but carrying what He wants us to do. There is a saying by our founding pastor in the BP movement that says, self-help with God's help is the best help. Self-help with God's help is the best help. You have to do something. It's not that God, you're powerful, you can do this, you promise that you will give me this, then you sit down and do nothing. Tomorrow is my exam. These things must be done. And yet, because you trust in the Lord, fully believe in Him, and then you sit down, do nothing, sleep, and you just expect God to make things and to remind you and to show you the answer, whatever things that will help you to overcome the problem. No, you have to carry it out. Even if that instruction that God gave us are sometimes to the eyes of men and to our own eyes are not applicable, not something that is not relevant, something that we may say, why do this when this is the case? Why apply this when it seems to be not related to my problem? And this is what we see here in this passage. And I pray the Lord will help us. I pray the Lord will grant us understanding, and the Spirit of God will teach us, especially among young people. You are bombarded with so many trials in life. And you need to trust in the Lord. You need to acknowledge who He is in your life. You need to believe His word, and you need to carry out. So these are the ABCs in the victors or the victory that God has for us as He commands us to do. And this is not just in the time of the Old Testament, even until today and even in the future. So acknowledge, believe, and you have to carry out God's command. Acknowledge, that is in verse 13 and 15 in Joshua 5. We have here an account of Joshua from 13 and 15, which for me, in my sanctified imagination, please permit me to do this. He was praying. Okay, the passage does not say that he was praying. The passage does not say that he was seeking God's help. But I believe that he is, because God answered him, appeared before him. And the way it was explained was he seemed to be kneeling down or prostrating on the ground. Now take note that in this passage, they already crossed the river Jordan. And the crossing of the river Jordan was a miraculous one. We see that in chapter 5, the beginning, where it showed and the news echoed all throughout Canaan that, the people, the Israelites, crossed river Jordan and they crossed it on dry ground. Dry ground. Now, you may think probably some of you have gone through Israel and you have crossed from Jordan to Israel. And you will see, it's just a small, river, canal. In fact, when you are in the side of Jordan in Amman, there is a portion by which at the other side you have the military and the post of the Jordanian armies. And the other side, the Israel armies, where they can just easily converse. There is a portion there where they can just see each other, say hi and hello, because the river is just, there is a narrow part where you can see the flag there of Israel and you can see the Jordanian flag at the other side. So you may say, that's not a miracle. What is great in crossing the river Jordan on dry ground when you see, maybe it's just some time where it dried up, so they crossed. But you have to remember that this was a time when they crossed. This was a time, a springtime, where the river was overflowing. The snow on Mount Hermon was melting. And melting and going through Galilee and into the river Jordan. So the place was really flooded and it was difficult for them to cross. But God showed His power. And they were able to cross the river Jordan when the flow of the river stopped. Can you imagine? Even science, physics or whatever, it's difficult for you to imagine how a river flowing would stop. If there was like a dam there, and then the flow from Galilee keeps on coming down, there should be an overflowing in some parts of the upper areas of Galilee would be overflooded. I mean, it would be flooded because the water somehow stopped with an invisible dam, with an invisible wall. So the cross, we will not focus on this, but one thing that we have to remember was there was fear in the land of Canaan because they were already at the other side. They have entered into the promised land. And the moment they entered into the promised land, all things that they saw when they were marching across from Egypt towards the river Jordan were gone. For example, the manna that falls every morning is already gone. When they cross on Canaan side, they have the old corn and the fruits of the land, so they didn't have the manna to collect. The flow of the river, the flow of water that provides for them daily, it stopped, of course, because there were already wells and rivers in Canaan. But one thing that you have to remember that was significant and would have caused Joshua to think whether God was still with them. Can you remember what was with them? What are those things that were with them during the journey in the wilderness that showed God was with them? Pillar of fire by night and pillar of cloud by day. When they crossed, it was gone. Many of them would just take it lightly when they were there in the wilderness, but when they crossed Canaan, it was gone, and this is something that Joshua thought. And I believe when he prayed and he now come to God and they are going to face, the first one that they have to fight against is the city of Jericho. Now, all of you are familiar with this story, right? In the Sunday school, all of you can describe this story. We don't have to do this again. But one thing is that Joshua must have been thinking how and was trying to plan strategies that would conquer the city of Jericho. You know, this is a double-walled city. And the first wall is not a wall that is just an ordinary wall just like we have here. It's a wall that is, inside the wall are houses. You can imagine these big walls. No? Inside walls, but inside there are houses. And in fact, chariots can travel all up there, they on that wall. That's how spacious, how great was the width of the wall. And after that, if they can conquer it, then there's another wall up there. So Joshua's commander himself could have thought how they can let the arrows reach there, or whatever plans that he had, because it was for him a formidable foe. It is impenetrable. It is a fight that there is no percentage that they can win. It was a losing battle. And yet, here God appeared before him. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and probably was looking at the city. He was trying to imagine how we can penetrate, how we can enter, how we can send our arms, how we can have our arrows to fly over and reach that land, and so we can still be safe. How we can enter into that city, how we can conquer that city. He was looking at that. And then suddenly he lifted up his eyes and looked. So when we say lifted up, he was at a lower part and he looked up, and somehow here, behold, there stood a man over against him. A man. A man. And then he asked this man, because this man was drawing sword with his hand. He was not just appearing there with a sword in the sheath or at the side. He was ready to fight with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? This is an important reminder for us young people. Because when we are in the midst of a difficult situation, Satan might come as a light and will offer you a help. And you think, this is the help that I need. Without even asking whether it is of God or not. Whether this is according to the Bible or not. Whether this is what the scriptures or what my pastors and leaders tells me. Or whether these are the things that my parents told me. As long as I can conquer, as long as I can win, as long as I can have this victory, I don't mind whether this is from Satan or from the world. I have to ask help from him. And this is dangerous. My dear young people, this is victimizing many young Christians today. You are not discerning. You're not thinking. What you have in mind is just to reach or to get that victory, to win, to reach that level, to have this degree or to have that work or to have this money. And whether it's Satan or whatever, whoever will help me, I will grab it, because I am focusing on that success, that victory. Joshua needs so much or need a lot of help, and he must be happy that somebody appeared before him with this drawn sword. But he was careful. Is it God? Are you for us, for our side? Or you may be appearing only as for us, but then later you will be fighting against me. I hope you are listening, young people. This is what Satan is doing among the youth today. And he will just tell you, it is you is important. That is in the word youth. Young. You. And when it touches about you, and when you think that, oh, it's about me, mine, then you will say, oh, it's for me. Be careful. That's why I'm thankful that you are here in this fellowship. You are continually reminding yourself with God's word, because the moment you distance away from fellowship, the moment you distance away from the church, the moment that you forget the words from your parents and from your pastors and from the preaching of God's word, you will be easily drawn and you will be easily deceived by the world. And because you are blinded with your ambition, you are blinded with what you think would be successful, you will just get and grab anything that will be offered to you, even if that will be to your detriment. Be careful. Be like Joshua. He knows there is help, but he must make sure that this help is from the Lord. It's not from anybody. It's not from the world. And even in churches today, that is why many Protestant churches are holding hands with the Roman Catholics and other cults. Why? Because these cults and these Roman Catholics, they are rich people. They are rich churches. And because they are rich, whatever is, you know, they can help us in our missions. And they think that, oh, we just receive the money, but we will preach the gospel, the truth from the scriptures. Come on. You are grieving God. And even though you are trying to say you are preaching the pure gospel, but you are getting resources from the world and from the cults and from the false religion, you think you can succeed? God is against you. You may think you are successful because you have the money and the resources, because these are coming help from the world, but no, you will be losing the battle. Take note of who is helping. Joshua was careful. Please acknowledge, please identify, please make sure who is your help. Don't just grab immediately because this is a good offer. Don't just enter into the door because it's open. Don't just welcome anybody to help. You must ask and you must know whether this is from the Lord or not. And you can only do that when you know God's word. And you can only discern when you are truly born again. When you are truly in Christ. If not, you'll be easily deceived. So, please remember this. Joshua asked. You know, in here, he should not have asked. This is our help. We need to conquer. Whether he is for us or not, as long as he will fight for us, then okay. But no, you have to take note whether they are our adversaries. Adversaries here would refer to those. They may be friendly to you, but later they are to your disadvantage. They will destroy you. And that's Satan. He will appear as an angel of light here in the pulpit and will say good things to you, but later what is preached is for your own destruction. We thank God that your pulpit is guarded. Please continue to pray that this pulpit will be guarded. Because the moment it will be open to all, then you will be receiving lies and falsehoods. And then you will believe what is a lie. And so he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. Now he should have said, I am God, I am Jehovah. But he says here, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. He didn't say, I am the Lord myself. The captain, one who is the leader, one who is the commander of the host. The host here refers to the armies of angels who can help them. And he said, and Joshua fell on his face on the earth and did worship. And here we can see that Joshua acknowledged that he is one who is probably an angel, one who is a great messenger of God, one who is the captain or commander from the Lord. And he says, and we can notice this by the way he asked here the man. Because when he asked the man, he didn't call the man Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He says here, what saith my Lord? This word Lord here, small letters L-O-R-D, is referring to the word Adonai. Your master, you are a great leader, you are my boss. My boss, what do you want me to do? To me as a servant. And here the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself. This is important. And the captain of the Lord's host said, how did he identify himself? How he showed himself? He did not say, I am the Lord, Jehovah, the second person of the Trinity. No, he just said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And here immediately Joshua, I believe, can remember what Moses experienced. And this shows that indeed this is my Lord. This is God. This is God himself, Jehovah, the faithful covenant keeping God. So that's the first thing. Acknowledge, identify. We have to know this help towards this victory is of the Lord. And this one helping me is of God, is from God. And the help is from the Lord himself. Second is we have to believe. Because when we acknowledge that he is helping us, we have to believe in what he says to us. If we don't believe, there'll be nothing that will happen. We can just acknowledge him and we don't listen to him, it is in vain. So look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Yeah, you can compare here the trust. The people of Jericho trust in their own walled city. That is their trust. Because although they were fearful, they were afraid, but they trust in their own walled city. They never went out. And never that they allow people to come in. They were just closing doors. The gates were closed. That means their trust is in the wall. The trust is in the protection of the city. In contrast, here we have the trust of Joshua. The Lord. And take note here, it is now the Lord. He was not, the description here is not just saying the captain of the Lord of hosts. Okay? It is now said the Lord. The captain of the Lord of hosts who appeared unto Joshua, told him, and now he's described as the Lord himself. This is why we know that it is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. He is Messiah. He is the Malachi Ovah. He is the angel of the Lord. He is the captain of the Lord. And so we see here, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, behold, I have given into thine hand. The word here, I have given, is in the grammatical sense a future prophetic kind of description where it is still future, but it is sure. This is in the Old Testament. It's still a thing, a circumstance, a situation that is to happen, but it will surely happen. Like, for example, in the case of the prophecy of Daniel, Prophet Daniel, I believe you can remember how it was described. He described the different kingdoms of the world that will occupy the world before the Messiah will be cut off. Of course, at that time, the Babylonians. Then he prophesied there will be the Medo-Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. And that accuracy of his prophecy caused many liberal Christians today to think and to say, no, it was not written at that time. It was written after all these things happened. Because it was so accurate as if he was just writing in recollection of what had happened. You see? That's the accuracy of the prophecy of Daniel. That's why liberal Christians or scholars today will not believe that it was written before it happened. They do not believe that it is prophecy. They believe it is history. Writing in the sense that he was looking backward of what happened. But no, it was not. If we think about that, then we are believing that indeed this is not an inspired word of God. So, going back into this context here, we have this prophetic, future prophetic words where it is prophesied, but it is made sure and it will happen. I have given. It is as if he has given it already in the past and it will be accomplished in the future. And it will surely will come to pass. I have given into thine hand Jericho. What an assurance. But do you think in that case would Joshua would just say, oh yes. He may be a little bit comforted, but you know, if you are the one like Joshua in this period of time, you may think, yes Lord, thank you for promising me that we will conquer Jericho, but how? You know. And he says, it will be given to you and the king. That means you will defeat the kingdom. You will be able to conquer the kingdom, the king, and the mighty men of valor. Meaning you will subdue the kingdom. You will be able to enter and destroy the kingdom. And even the people, the army, the soldiers, men of valor will be destroyed. And that is something that is, at that period of time, unbelievable. For us, it's easy to think that it happened because it happened already. But for you to, it's like, I believe there have been experiences in your life that the promises of God's word, when you read, you ask the Lord, and then there is a promise that God will help you, and then you doubt, Lord, I know you are able, but I think it is impossible to happen. I hope you can recall some of your experience so that you can praise God that indeed it happened, all because of what God has said and all God has helped you. So there must be a promise. I believe Joshua believed it, but you know, thank God for the grace that God has given to Joshua to believe these words. But if I was Joshua at the time, I would still question God. Lord, I know you will give, but how? I don't know. It seems very impossible. How? We have these people, my armies, they are not trained to fight against these warriors. How can we destroy these walls? How can we conquer? How can we even enter? How can we even go near? It is impossible. I believe, Lord, but I don't know how. At times like that, we say, Lord, I believe, but still in our hearts and in our minds, place things like, yeah, but I don't know how. Will it happen? Really, we don't trust and we don't believe. And then, when he believed, and it's important, we have to acknowledge God. Because it is important that when we have this victory, we have to go back into A, to acknowledge and to give praise to him. And here we trust that Joshua believed. But then we see in verses 3 to 5 the instructions. Now, if you read the instructions and you are a military strategist and you are a soldier, an army, and you are given this instruction, you will say, Lord, come on, we are not playing. We are not playing hide and seek. We are not playing with these people. If you instruct us like this, I don't know if it will really come to pass. Here's the instruction. First, you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Even the moment you ask the people to go to do this, some would even dare to ask Joshua, are you joking? How can we win in this kind of strategy? Just going around and do this? Can we find a better plan? Can we find a better way? I mean, this is not a joke. This is not a play. This is a fight. And we just go around once in every day and compass the city 7 times and blow with the trumpets. Do you think it will cause the walls to tumble down by the sound of the trumpet? Thank God that the people also believed in Joshua. And it shall come to pass that verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark of 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day he shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. For us today, it's easy for us to believe because we know it happened. And we know it happened because if you have gone through Israel, you know where's Jericho. You know it's already ruined. Thank God there is if you have been there in Jericho, there is a place, there's a part of the wall that was not destroyed. You see that? Where there is still that wall, that window. Why it was not destroyed? What do you think? Why all the wall, the walls were destroyed, but there is one part that was not destroyed. It remained there, intact. Even until today, you can see that if you have gone through Jericho. It was the house of Rahab. That's why some people say, oh, when you go to Israel, it makes the Bible alive. I mean, we know and we trust what the Word of God says. Even if that wall is not there, and even if that was not preserved, we can still trust what the Bible says. But we know God has preserved that in order for us to truly understand that indeed God worked in the midst. So with that, they have to compass, and it shall come to pass, take note on verse 5, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Meaning, up straight before him. He didn't have to find any place where it's open. Everything in the wall, except that place where Rahab lived, will be flattened, and you can just go straight and conquer and get into the city. What a promise. Is it easy to believe like this? I mean, if you are one of the armies of Joshua, I don't think you can just say, yes, that will happen. Until and unless you see that the wall tumbled down and it was flattened, you cannot believe that the Word of God is true. I mean, for men like us who are always doubtful and questioning God's Word and God's will in our lives, it's not easy to just, yes, Lord, we'll do it and it will happen. But we have an example here that indeed they carried out. They didn't ask, Lord, I mean, this is shameful. You know, going around is shameful. Why not we just sit down here and, you know, declare and say, walls, you be destroyed. And then we go. That would be easier, Lord. Why do you want us to go around and do this? what's the effect? The importance is obedience. You carry out what God says. You believe, because without obeying God's word, your words of saying "I believe in Jesus" is nothing. There are many young people today will just say, "I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus," but their lives are not showing that they really believe. They don't do what God says. They just say in their mouth, "I believe," but they are not doing, and we cannot see any part of your life that is showing that you are indeed a child of God. It's just your mouth that is saying you believe, but your life does not show that you are a Christian. That's why there was a pastor who says, you know, in heaven, he says, many will be there, but probably it's only the mouth that will be there. It's scary, right? You go to heaven, it's only the mouth that you can see. Why? Because it's only the mouth who says, "I believe." You believe in that? You go into heaven and you can just see mouths. Because only the mouth that says, "I believe in Jesus." Other parts, the hands, the eyes glued into the cell phones. Will not sleep whole night watching only the cell phones. The ears listening to the worldly music. Your whole body is attracted to the things of the world. But when you speak up, you just say, "I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian." So probably what will come and enter into the house of God is just the mouth. That's just the word, that's the thought of one preacher. Of course it's not. We have to carry out. We have to do. We have to obey. I think there's a children's song. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe, right? O-B-E, right? There's a song like that. Am I right? Okay. Obedience, to do, to carry out. Please understand that you're saying you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus, is enough. And the whole life, your thinking, your hands, your eyes, your everything in your life is not even giving a hint that you believe. Just the words. Nothing will happen. Thank God that for the people in the time of Joshua, they really believed and they carry out, even if it seemed for me, it's irrelevant, it's nonsense. I mean, in the sense of fighting against the enemy, you can't do anything. I mean, you go around, how can you destroy a wall by this? But God asks us to just obey. Even in a situation or a circumstance that seems to be not even have a hint that it will help us to victory. But once you do it, because God says you obey and you obeyed, God will grant you the victory. And indeed, that is what happened in chapter 6. My dear young people, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will always be there. If truly you are born again and believers, you have truly have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will always be there for you. When you ask Him, "Lord, I know this is difficult. I know this is hard. I know this is an impossibility. But You're a God of, You're Almighty. You are God who is able to do all things. I come before You and ask for Your help." And when God says, "You know, You are My son, You are My child, I love You and I care for You, I want You to do this. Attend a fellowship meeting, be there in the ministry. But Lord, You know, I have to study." Yeah, you have to study, but study after coming to worship or after coming to Sunday school. There are some young people who think that, the exam will be tomorrow. I can excuse myself from the Sunday school and worship service. I must give a good testimony for my Lord that I must
excel in this exam, that's why I have to study the whole Lord's Day. Please. That shouldn't be done. The Lord's Day is a Lord's Day, not a Lord's hour or a Lord's minute. It's a Lord's Day. Remember the Lord's Day, Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And even if the Lord will say, it's okay, you have to be there. Saturday you'll be in the fellowship. Sunday you'll be whole day in the church. And the next day will be your exam. You have only few hours and minutes before the exam to review, revise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do what God wants you to do. That is honoring the Lord. Don't honor the Lord. When you just study and then you do, you succeed, I don't believe you will say, thank you, Lord. You'll think, I'm really good. You know, I've done it. I'm good and the best. Because you have not acknowledged first God. So, carry out, obey what God says. Self-help with God's help is the best help. And self-help there is to trust in God's help. Ask for God's help. That's the self-help. The best self-help is asking for God's help. See? It's not that I must help myself and then later God will assist me, then that's the best help. No. The best help is God's help. And therefore, when you ask, when you do your self-help, you do what God wants you to do, but that is trusting in the Lord. Obeying God. That's God's help. And that's the best help. During the last part of my, I was convicted that God led me to take my last degree in FEBC. But I was already old at that time. I was already 46, 45, 46. And it's hard for me to really do things because, age caught me and can easily get tired and cannot think well, forgetful already. And then when I tried to submit my dissertation, it was always like rejected. Cannot reach the standard of the lecturers. So it's always returned to me with all the comments that I do for several months and then pass, and it's still the same. They just say, no, cannot make it. This falls short of the standard. Especially for one lecturer. And then I keep on submitting. You know, how long was that? 4 years. 4 years. I wanted to surrender. Lord, it's enough. I don't want any more. What's the use of having this degree? You'll be called like this degree and then that kind of title. What for? But the Lord convicted me that it's important, because when I go back to our country, if we have our Bible school, this is important for some kind of the recognition from the country or from the government. We cannot just establish a college without some people who have this kind of degree. So I must do it. But Lord, for 2 years and 3 years, this is hopeless. Keep on submitting, kept on being rejected. Until the Lord just showed me, just humble yourself and ask the lecturer, if you keep on rejecting this, What's wrong with this thesis, this dissertation? Where in this dissertation should I revise? You did not ask him. Of course, it is fearful to come into this kind of lecture. I mean, even before you can see him, you'll be trembling. So, but God gave me the courage and to approach. Thank God he was so kind to me that day. And then he just told me, okay, you just ask these things, that thing, you change that, you do this. I did. And then he just approved. He didn't give me the grade. He just put there and my dissertation passed. But I thank God that happened. Trust in the Lord and do what he wants us to do. It seemed for me impossible. For 4 years, you can imagine, keep on writing, submitting, rejected. I wanted to quit, but God moved me to just, what was lacking is for me to humble down and ask what's wrong with my dissertation. That's it. Just a simple, you have to humble down. Don't think yourself as somebody who knows. You better ask. And then when I asked, he told me, this is something that is to be changed. Then I changed. It's okay. I mean, there are things in life that seemed really impossible to happen. But when God helps you because he convicted you that it is of the Lord, it is for him, it is for his glory, then do it with humility. And when God tells you to do something that is hard for you to do because it seems impossible or not relevant, just do it. Obey. For me, that was the hardest thing. It's not the writing, it's humbling down. You know, these proud people, and my wife always remind me, you are a proud man. And so God has to humble me down and to put me down and to acknowledge, you don't know anything. Don't think that you know. Just have to acknowledge you don't know these things. Acknowledge, and then God will just help. So, my dear young people, make sure there are problems, trials, difficulties, projects, exams, whatever that may come into your life, and you ask the Lord for help, make sure it is the Lord's help. That's number one. Acknowledge that it is from Him. Don't just grab the help without knowing it is from the Lord. Then believe in His promises. As children of God, if truly you are a child of God, He will help you. He'll make sure you will be able to do it. Trust in His word. But saying, I believe, is nothing if you will not obey and do and carry out what He wants. Even the hardest thing. And God will ask you to do the hardest thing that is in your life difficult for you to do. Just like what I have experienced, it was the hardest thing for me to humble down and say, I don't know this. Because for me, I have gone through many degrees. I have gone through many years of studies. And to say to this person, I don't know, it's like, he may say, what? You don't know? You've been in this college for so long and you don't know. But yet, it is the obedience. Carry out what God wants us to do. Just acknowledge, humble yourself. You are zero. God is everything. You are nothing. And when you do that, the Lord will help you. In the case of Joshua, he made sure it was from the Lord's help. He believed that God really will give Jericho to them. And when they were instructed to do something that was impossible, not related to their fight, He did it because it was from the Lord. And they won. And they saw God's work. They witnessed how the Lord destroyed the walls. It is history for us. It's easy for us to understand and believe. But there are times in our lives that we will be facing Jericho in our lives. But you have God with you. Just make sure you are a child of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for this precious reminder. And indeed, Lord, we ought to trust in Thee and to believe in Thee. Even in times that we may think there are things that You want us to do which are not related, relevant to what we desire. But Lord, Thou art our God who is all-powerful. Thou art the commander that leads us to victory. Help us to truly believe in Thee. We pray that You will forgive us, for many times we doubt Thee, we question Thee, we don't trust Thee. And we pray, Lord, that You will help us. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. Cleanse us from all our iniquities. Bless these people, the young people, Lord, and may You truly work in their lives. And we pray that You will also someday will call some to serve Thee, even to give their lives unto Thee, to be preachers and teachers of Thy word. Lord, we pray for more young people to dedicate their lives unto Thee, to be used by Thee for the proclamation of Thy word. Oh, how we look back, Lord, on how You worked in this church before many young people came to FEBC. We pray, Lord, that You will revive such and You will show forth Thy goodness, O God, unto this church to use many young people to serve Thee, even to honor and glorify Thee. We pray and we ask all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.